All right, can I have a couple of people help me with the communion? You know, God keeps giving us more and more revelation. You know, and I believe that today we are living in the Great Awakening right now. The stuff we're learning about everything is just shocking, and it's hard to take all of it in. You know, it seems like every time I turn around, I find a new truth. You know, something that has been hidden from us. One of the greatest revelations I ever ran into was the Holy Communion. I had no idea what this was about for the longest time. And it actually, the harder I tried, the more frustration it caused. And then finally, I found out the truth about the Holy Communion, and it's God's medicine for us, so that we could be healed. One of the coolest things I ever read and found out about was the blind guy that come walking up to Jesus. And he asked Jesus to heal him, and Jesus reached down and picked up some dirt and spit in it, made some clay and rubbed it in his eyes. And he said, "What do you see?" And he said, "I don't see anything." And he said, "Go to the pool of Siloam. Go wash in the pool of Siloam." That sounds like a nice story, and it would have us seeking some special pool where we could go wash our eyes, until we translate that and find out what Siloam means, the sent one. Jesus was telling him, broken creation cannot fix broken creation. Now you understand why Big Pharma just makes billions of dollars every year prescribing medicine to people that doesn't fix anything. They may mask symptoms, but it doesn't get rid of anything. But Jesus, the sent one, he heals everybody that reaches out to him in faith. One of his most intimate things he ever gave to us was the Holy Communion. When we look at his body, his perfect sinless body, and we identify that in this bread, and we see how his body was beaten and bruised for us. His body was beaten for our transgressions and wounded for our iniquities. And we look and we see how this perfect body of Jesus took stripes on his back. The Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. And we look and we see how this bread has been pierced. And everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood. And every time he shed blood, it was on purpose for our redemption. And we'll notice that this bread has been slightly burned. In the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus. God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated, so that he could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is so wonderfully pure that it never died. See, our blood, if we scratch ourselves and that blood comes to the surface, it dries up and turns into a scab, because we have sin-tainted blood. Jesus had absolutely no sin in his blood. In fact, he had the blood of God in him. I said he had the blood of God in him. He drained all of it for us. In fact, he described himself to Thomas. He said, "Put your fingers in my side. I have a flesh and bone body. No blood." He shed all of it. That perfect blood of Jesus is the reason that 1 John 1:7 can be wrote. That if you walk in the light as we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. Praise God. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we have boldness to enter into the throne room of God's presence, right into His presence, right into His throne room of grace, and receive mercy and grace in times of need. So we thank you, Father, for this in Jesus' name. If you would like to get a better understanding of the Holy Communion, you can go on josephprince.org and order his book on Holy Communion. He has a little pamphlet for like $3 or $4. And he has a bigger book, might cost $10. But it's well worth, it's a priceless investment in your Christian faith. Understand this Holy Communion and get a revelation of what Jesus did for you in his passion, in his crucifixion. Well, all right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the hurricane wiped out. The hurricane wiped out a whole bunch of those mountain towns. Yeah, that hurricane wiped out a whole bunch of little villages up there. Well, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over not only the people in North Carolina, but everybody that is in the path of this hurricane. Father, we ask you that you have mercy on them. Father, that they will be able to not only come out of this, but come out of this prosperous. Father, that whatever they've lost will be returned to them. And Father, if they're missing loved ones, Father, we ask that they be returned safe. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but our world has become a fairly dangerous place. And, you know, Jesus said, in this world you'd have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Unfortunately, we have a whole bunch of the church that's hiding in fear. And there's some reasons for that. Now, I've told you that for a long time we're on the cusp of having a great revival, and we are. I believe there's going to be people that are be turning to God in just waves. But I also told you that there's going to be a humongous religious system crash. And it's going to be of biblical proportions. And there is not one single denomination, including the Word of Faith circles, that's going to be immune from this shaking. They're going to shake them from the very top right down to the janitor. God is going to clean His church up. And we are going to come together in the unity of the faith. And all these little religious fights, all this arguments about doctrine are going to go away. And we are going to understand who Jesus is. And we are going to understand his kingdom. Amen. The church has been so infiltrated with false doctrines and false traditions. And some of it right down to very satanic involvement. And that's going to get cleaned out. Remember in Revelation where we talked about Jesus talking about those Jews that are not Jews, but they are the synagogue of Satan? Well, there is two different types of Jews. They're the Zionists that have been causing problems all over the world. And then there's true Judeans. So don't just throw all of Israel in one happy little basket and support them, because they're not the same. Same thing with the Christians. In fact, Jesus talked about them in that same chapter. He called them Nicolaitans. There is churchgoers that have picked up practices that are not acceptable to Jesus. See, we have whole denominations that are splitting and getting fractured because one side wants to support gay marriage and gay pastors, and another side doesn't. You know, each single denomination is going to have something that's going to get purged from them. None of them are going to go through this without being cleansed. And then the great revival will be on. Jesus is going to establish his church on this earth. Why has the church become impotent and without power? I'm going to preach from some notes of a lady that came down here, and they're really important notes and things, and she has specifically majored on one certain area, and spiritual warfare is her area. That's what she focuses on all the time. And anyway, she gave me these notes. So, Vicki, I'm preaching from your notes. Anyway, God gave them to her, and she gave them to me. The same way Paul gave Galatians to the church, he got it from the Holy Spirit. So we're really just preaching God's word. Amen. Amen. So why has the church become impotent and without power? Why have the priests stepped away from the altar and their duties? In many cases, the glory of God has departed from the temple, leaving the families and the church to the devouring of the enemy. It's not just leadership. It's the believers who have stepped out of the priesthood or who have never stepped into it. The church is in lack because there is not enough priests to carry the ark, the very presence of the glory of God. Now that sounds harsh, doesn't it? But that's the truth. You know, when you find out that you've been made a king and a priest, and you've been given the ministry of reconciliation the very minute you got born again. The very minute you got born again, you got made a minister. You may not be part of the fivefold, but you have been called to preach the gospel. In fact, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every single one of us, the day you got born again, you got made a preacher. Now, unfortunately, I would say probably 95% of the church says, well, fix me first. And Jesus will fix you, no doubt about that. But then they want to say, fix me some more. You know, fix me some more. Bless me some more. And then I'll go, this prosper me, and then I'll go. Bless me, and then I'll go out here and do this. Bless me, and I'll go out here and do that. That is not what the Word of God says. He'll do all of these things. But we need to be active in the kingdom of God. We need to be out there doing something. See, He will do this. But He wants us to be involved in the kingdom. See, that's one thing. If you'll notice about people have this craving for the supernatural. Have you ever noticed people are drawn to magic? People are drawn to different things that they see. People are drawn, they want to see miracles. Have you ever wondered about that? People are naturally drawn to miracles. When Jesus did miracles, people were attracted to that. When the church does something and somebody gets healed, people are attracted to that. Have you ever wondered why that is? Because every single human being on the face of this earth is a spirit. That's the real you. And every single one of those spirits was in direct contact with the miracle working God. And they crave that supernatural, the supernatural of God. Now, after a person gets old enough to make a decision for Christ one way or the other, if he decides he's going to be born again, then he's back in contact with that miracle-working God. He's back in contact with that supernatural being. And if somebody decides that they don't want to be born again, then they're not in contact with him anymore. And the only way God can deal with them is through their five natural senses, what they can see, touch, smell, hear, taste. See, the world has this idea there's a sixth sense. They call it the sixth sense. Did you know his name is not the sixth sense? He's Holy Spirit. He's Holy Spirit. But these people that are dealing with their five natural senses, that are living according to their five natural senses, are looking for something that they can see. They're the ones that say, I'll believe it when I see it. If I can't touch it, it's not real. If I can't smell it, it's not there. Unfortunately, we have a whole bunch of churchgoers that are in that same group. Why? Why? You know, Jesus said that the traditions of your forefathers have made the Word of God to none effect. In fact, let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Oh, I'm sorry, Mark chapter 7, verse 7. We'll start at verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied. prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You know, when I was in Bible school, we had a deliverance minister come teach for about a week. And, you know, a lot of the Word of Faith circles, they don't believe in deliverance. You know, they don't understand that sometimes people come in contact with demons and that they need to be set free from that. But here's the thing. He talked about some of these satanic ritual abuse victims that escaped and survived. And they would tell their stories. And the people that were involved in these satanic rituals would shock you. They were the popular politicians. You know, there would be mayors, governors, there would be lawyers, doctors, pastors. I said pastors operating in satanic ritual abuse. Their hearts are far from God. They move their lips on Sunday, but their hearts are far from God. You know, there's some pastors that are going to get busted hard here pretty quick because they've been involved in some of this stuff. Their world is going to come crashing down. It's not just the politicians. See, Satan has infiltrated every single square inch of our society. Every single square inch. Think of that for just a little bit. There is nothing about your life that he has not violated. Now, see, when you got born again, God made you a minister of reconciliation. He told you to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. So it stands to reason that if God uses people to go about doing his business, can you not understand that Satan uses people to go about his business? How many have you got frustrated when they decided that they weren't going to allow God to be mentioned in the White House? How many of you got frustrated when they didn't want the Capitol building involved with anything Christian? You know why that is? Satan has people in Washington, D.C. And they're going about doing his business. Ronald Reagan, he said something really peculiar. And I thought it was funny for a long time. I didn't know how serious it was. He said, "We're from the government and we're here to help." He said, "If you hear that, you should run." You know how true that is today? The government is not your friend. Did you know the United States government does not belong to the United States? See, this is one thing our politicians are running around saying that Donald Trump is out to destroy democracy. Praise God. Praise God. We are not a democracy. We are a republic. I mean, it is a government that is ran by the people for the people. Unfortunately, the people have no idea what that means. And the people do not stand up to the politicians and tell them no. In fact, for years and years and years, the church has been sitting on their butts hoping that somebody would do something. Somebody did something, and now they don't like it. And here we are. One of the problems is that the traditions of our forefathers that have been handed down to us. We've accepted them as being right. I've told you a lot of times, don't believe anything anybody says. Unless it lines up with the Bible, lines up with the Constitution. Don't trust people. And for crying out loud, when you go to church, bring a Bible with you. One of the last people you should trust on this planet is a pastor. If he's not reading from the Bible to you what the Word of God says, he could lead you into all kinds of trouble. You know, we have pastors. I had a couple of pastors right here in town try to tell me that, well, they were talking about Muslims. Said, well, we all worship the same God. Right there, we do not. We do not. And Jesus never, ever, ever once said that you should have gay pastors. He never, ever once said it would be all right to have abortion. This line in the sand is becoming solidified now. There's no more gray area. We're going to come to a day where we know one way or another. They're either on the wrong side of the fence or they're on the right side of the fence. You know, there was a day when you weren't sure one way or another if somebody was a believer or not. There was a day where you really didn't know if somebody was a Democrat or a Republican. And they didn't say one way or another. You remember those days? You weren't really sure. And they weren't that far apart. But see, it's not about politics and religion anymore. It's about right and wrong. It's about evil and good. You're either going to be on the evil side or on the good side. You're going to have to make the choice. You're not going to be able to straddle the fence. Let's get back here to Mark chapter 7. He said, talked about the commandments of men. You know, whenever somebody starts wanting to talk doctrine with me, it's usually going to lead to the commandments of men. It's going to find out, you're going to find out what they don't believe about the Bible. That's true, they will believe some things, but there's going to be some things that they don't believe about the Bible. That's not for us. We're going to have to read the Bible and believe what we read. Too many people read only what they believe. They say, well, if they don't understand something, they avoid it. And then eventually they become hard-hearted because they've stayed away from that particular scripture they don't want to face. Or somebody says, well, that's not for us. Or the pastor says, no, we don't do that. So then they believe it. If the Bible says, did you know that whatever Jesus said, that trumps every single pastor on the face of this earth? Did you know Jesus said it? It doesn't matter what your doctrine says one way or another. I've said this often. You need to lay down what you believe on the table, lay it out bare, match it up with what God says, and if it doesn't line up, wipe it off the table. I don't care what mama says. I don't care what your pastor says. You go with the Word of God over what anybody says. See, this is going to be more and more important for us every day going forward. You know, Do you realize what time of year we're in? It's almost October. You're going to have fall. You're going to have harvesting. No, we're having an election. And right now, the good people are standing on the evil people's neck. But don't think that they won't lash out and try to do something absolutely horrible to you. The government is not your friend. They don't like you. The only time they like you is when they need a vote. Donald Trump is not the government. Did you know that he is an infiltrator? Did you know that? He infiltrated a very evil system. I used to call Barack Obama the infiltrator. But no, he was part of the system. Donald Trump infiltrated their system, and he's wrecking it. And he's protected by God. Amen. But see, he's not going to save us. Did you know that? Did you know that you have to stand up on your own two little feet with the Word of God in your mouth? And you got to enforce some things in this kingdom? Now, you may not be called to go to Washington or Austin, but guess what? You can go right down here to the local courthouse. Whenever our local politicians decide they want to be idiots, which is a lot, then you go down there with the Constitution and you tell them what the Constitution says. And you tell, here's one thing, they're bullies. Politicians are going to bully. Have you ever noticed that? They like to push people around. They like to bully people around. But I've noticed that when the church stands up and a whole bunch of them go down there to the commissioner's court or go to a special meeting or go wherever they need to go and say, no, we're not, they shut up. They're not tough anymore. The church has all the power in the world to change the universe. And they're sitting in the pews waiting for somebody to do something. And you know what's really shameful is 50% of what they call the churchgoers votes. That needs to change. Let's get back here now. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines of the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as washing of pots, cups, many other such things like you do. He said, unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. Do you see how dangerous this denominationalism is? I actually had a lady tell me one time, said, well, they were talking about a scripture, said, well, I don't really know if I'm supposed to believe that or not. Said, we usually wait, and the conference will tell us if we need to believe that scripture. So, are you crazy? She unfriended me. Are you flipping nuts? There's whole denominations that have been bought off by the deep state. See, you need to know there's a government behind the government. They're called the Illuminati. They're full-blown Satanists. They have sold their soul to the devil. And everybody that wanted to be somebody had to go through them. And they split into all these little factions. And they've used all kinds of different methods to infiltrate different groups. Almost everything that the government has ever created that may sound like a good thing, but it's designed to bring you into submission. How nice does the Environmental Protection Agency sound? That sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? We need to protect the environment, don't we? You know what their true agenda is? We will save a minnow. And we'll use this minnow to take their water away from them so they can't grow food. We will save the air, and here's how we'll do it. We'll take away their energy source from them so they can't get around. The World Health Organization. Well, that sounds like a comforting thing on the surface. We want the whole world to be healthy, don't we? We will give them a vaccine to kill them in the name of saving them. Do you know how many preachers fall in line with that? That's why a lot of them really don't like me. But he said, you've laid the commandment of God to the side so you can keep your own tradition. You know, one of the things Jesus said, you should wait here in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. You receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. And somehow, a group of people have decided that you don't really get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they said that, you know, tongues is of the devil. I'm going to tell you something about tongues. I spent a lot of time in the devil's country. I grew up there. And I spent a lot of time in bars and honky-tonks. And if tongues was of the devil, I would have heard it. I never once heard anything about tongues until I got to church. Tongues is not of the devil. If somebody doesn't believe in it, so they don't want to talk about it, so they stay away from it. They lie about the Holy Spirit in order to keep people from operating in it. That's a shame. That's a tradition of man. See why you should not ever just believe a preacher for what he says? You take that Bible to church with you and you make him stay in line with the Word. And then you go home and you read the Word of God for yourself. Now, let's go over to Matthew chapter 15, verse 3. Matthew chapter 15, verse 3. Get out of Mark. Matthew chapter 15, verse 3 says, but he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Why do you go against the Word of God by your tradition? Why do you go against the Word of God by your doctrine? There are whole groups of people that are missing out on the freedom in Christ. You know, Jesus said you'd know the truth and the truth would make you free. There are a whole group of people that are missing out on that because their doctrine doesn't agree with that. You know, Jesus said that a man must be born again. He just flat out said it. It's in red. He said that a man must be born again. You know how many people that are counting on the seven sacraments to get them to heaven? One of the things that I learned in Bible school, and it really drove me nuts, was they told us to go to these different churches. Go there and don't say anything. Don't do anything. Just go listen and leave. So we'd go to these different churches and we'd listen and do our thing and get out of there. One thing that I learned is the Bible Belt is a war zone. And I learned how these different groups of people will try to bait you in to a doctrinal argument. You know, and I started picking up on different questions. And I said, no, this guy, and I would know what denomination they were from. I said, no, I'm not going to enter that argument. I said, finally, can't we just agree that Jesus is Lord? That drives them nuts. See what happens with this doctrinal divisions, it keeps the body of Christ fractured. You know, the devil knows probably more than the church about this. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. And if you ever come into agreement on something, he's toast. He knows that if two of you come into agreement, He's got a really hard time. In a three-corded strand, a three-stranded cord, is really hard to break. I mean, if you get three coming into agreement, how dangerous is that for the kingdom of darkness? What happens if you get the whole body of Christ into agreement? See, the body of Christ won't come into agreement as long as they're clinging to the traditions of their forefathers. Once we shake loose of that and come into the unity of the faith, oh my goodness, the revival is going to be huge. It's going to be bigger than anything you can imagine. We're going to actually see things and do things that Jesus did. I like that mode of travel that Philip the Evangelist, he baptized Enoch. This is way cool. I want to participate in it. He baptized Enoch. Enoch stood up, looked around. Philip was 30 miles away. But this guy is still wiping his eyes and Philip's already over there. That is a good form of travel. I like that. There's going to be some fun things happen. When we come into this new phase that we're going, new dispensation that we're going into, things are going to be a whole lot different. It's not going to be the same old, same old. People want things to get back to normal, but you really don't want things to get back to normal because normal was run by Satanists. Amen. Normal We have poison food, poison water, poison air, poison medicine. We don't want that no more. We want to live our lives in liberty, in Christ, free from the chains of Satan. You're going to have to enforce them with the words of your mouth. We're not going to get there today. But here's the interesting thing. When you're in court and you have a judge and a jury, and the jury goes back and they come up with the verdict, one member of the jury will stand up and read the verdict out loud. See, the enemy's already been judged. He's already been found guilty. And your job as a priest and a king is to offer up praises to God for the victory, and then you announce that verdict. You tell Satan he's been defeated. You tell him he's going to a pit. He's going to be chained up there for 1,000 years. That really bugs him. You want to really burn his tail? You tell him it is written before you read the verdict to him. And you let him have it with the words of your mouth. Out loud. Amen? Okay, we'll finish this up. We'll go farther next Sunday. Now, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you are leading us forward. You're teaching us about these false traditions that have been passed down to us. You're showing us how to break free from those, how to walk free in Christ. Father, we thank you. Every day is going to be a new learning experience for us. We ask you that the Holy Spirit will give us more and more revelation of who we are and what we need to do and how we need to do it. Father, we really don't know how to get from point A to point B. But we know that you will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. And you will take care of us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. Father, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.